Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 After. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure to continue to be with you. And you're going to be glad you hung out with me because we got Dr. Bill Dunkelberg back on the show. Bill is a professor of economics at Temple University, former dean, former head of the whole business school, and he's also chief economist for the NFIB, National Federation of Independent Business. And every month for the last several decades, over three decades, Bill has been talking to small business owners, just like you, a couple thousand every month, to ask them what's going on out there in the economy. What are you seeing with regard to this issue and that issue? And they give him that their answers. He compiles those answers into a handy-dandy report that he shares with us every month. And we appreciate him very much for that. He's back now with one of those editions in our 12th anniversary week. And we wouldn't want to do this week without Bill Dunkelberg. Bill, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, and happy anniversary.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You know, you've made almost 10 of these with me.
All right. Hard to believe.
Yeah, well, we're sort of like
time
baseball
flies
next
when
spring.
You're having fun, you know what I mean?
We have had fun, haven't we?
We have.
And we've even done it face-to-face. We did it face-to-face once in Washington, D.C., as I remember.
We managed to do that.
Yeah, we worked it out. But, no, seriously, next spring is going to be your 10th anniversary with us. And everybody this week has been with us, you know, between 9.5 and 11.5 years. I think you probably know Karen Kerrigan. She's going to be on, I guess, tomorrow. She's been with me almost 12 years. And so we got a lot of good folks here and going to be on the show with us this week. Bill, and by the way, as I think I may have said it earlier, for all that you do for small business and for all that you've done for us, just being such an abiding presence and such a high-quality resource for small business, we appreciate that. That's a commitment that a lot of people don't make, and we recognize that commitment, and we thank you for it.
Oh, my pleasure.
It's you've had fun too, haven't you, doing the report over these years?
I sure have. You know, I've been doing this stuff since early 1970s, so it's a long haul, and it's been delightful.
Well, you know, you and I would have celebrated, what was it, 72 you started doing this, 73?
Yeah, well, the quarterly survey we started doing in the last quarter of 73, but then I did other work with NFIB's and the members starting around 1971, so been at it a long time.
Yeah, a long time. And so, folks, that's why his survey is so respected, because he's got such a deep history of perspectives to compare. You know, for example, Bill, when we look at your October report that we're talking about right now, which basically was through the end of last month, or I guess maybe do you call it the November report through October?
Well, I'm trying to call it the October report because that's when the data we're collecting.
That's when it is, even though we report on November.
NFIB calls it November because it comes out in November.
It takes you a while to compile all this information, but the report is. You know, we're in a tough time right now. The economy is pretty tough, and it's helpful to understand where this particular economic condition compares, how it compares to what we've been through in the past. I mean, you and I saw the big one in the mid 70s, we saw the big one in the early 80s, and those are the two really in the last 60 years. Those are the two big ones that this compares closest to, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, that's right, and really, if you think about the 10 components of our index, and say, well, how many of them kind of set new records? This is the worst of the 74, 5, 80, 82, and the current recession. It's the longest, and we've dipped deeper on many of our indicators than we did at any of those other recessions. So,
right,
and I think it's the length of this one that's really weighing people down.
And it's not over. Even though technically we're out of a recession, the residual of all of that is going to, you know, we're still having to deal with all that. Bill, one of the things that that somebody pointed out the other day, which I thought was important, and I wish I'd thought about it like that. I guess I did. I just didn't say it. Is that the other recessions were asset recessions? You know, we back in the 70s, we had too many goods in the pipeline and not enough buyers. And in the early 80s, probably something similar to that. We had a big problem with oil. The you know earlier that the end of the 70s and the prime rate was high, inflation was high. That was a big problem in the early 80s. But this is a financial crisis. This is a little different from the others, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's a good characterization. It was, you know, an inventory problem in 74-5. It was bad monetary policy and the price of oil, a huge oil tax going into 80-82 and all the inflation. And this one, you know, was an asset-triggered recession.
And when we come back, I'm going to tell you why that's a good distinction for you and me to think about. Stand by. 20 tails. Stay with us.
Anniversary, baby, got you on my mind. Happy anniversary, baby, got you on my mind.
Little River Band, that's one of my favorite songs, especially this week. This is the week we celebrate the 12th anniversary of the Small Business Advocate Show, the 12th anniversary of our website, smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you check that out, folks, and use it to your advantage. We built it just for you. Everything that we've done here for the last 12 years has had one purpose: to help people start small businesses if they should be starting small businesses, and to help them grow the ones that they have to be as successful as they can be and as happy doing that as they can be. It's not just about running the business, folks. What we've done here in the last 12 years is also to focus on the owner and the well-being, the mental, physical, spiritual, emotional, and financial well-being of the small business owner and their families and their employees' families. Those are the things we've done here. And somebody who's done a wonderful job, a yeoman's job of helping us do that, is our good friend Bill Dunkelberg, who's with us right now. Dr. Bill Dunkelberg is chief economist for the NFIB, and we're talking about the most recent survey that he's conducted of small business owners, asking them about the current economy through October. And Bill, I pointed out a minute ago, I asked you about the fact that in the past, the recessions, the big ones we had in the 70s and the early 80s, and you know the biggest problem were these were asset issues and assets, even in the 80s, the asset situation was different from the 70s, but it's primarily around inflation. Inflation had gotten so out of hand. But this one we're in right now is a financial, because of the financial markets melted down. And that's different. And so for that reason, Bill, I think it makes small business owners feel like we got blindsided, we got T-boned, and we didn't do anything wrong. What do you think?
Well, I think that's probably right. unless you're a small business building too many homes. But again, you got...
Yeah.
Blindsided on that one, because when in the bubble, you know, people would come to one of our small business builders and say, you know, I want you to build a house, and they lied and said, I'm going to move into it. Here's a deposit,
right?
So then the builder took that to the bank and got the construction loan, which was fine. But what we didn't know all along was that the customer really didn't intend to move in ever. They intended to flip it. And, of course, when they couldn't, then the customer walked away, left their deposit. The builder had no way to, of course, pay off the construction loan. And so the bank ends up with the construction, and the builder ends up bankrupt. And it was a very, very unfortunate situation, to say the least.
It's no question about it. And so what that's done is that's created the condition we have right now. Bill, put where we are right now from an economic standpoint. Put that in perspective with what you've seen over the years.
Well, let's go back to the last big recession we had, 80-82. You know, when we came out of that recession officially, you know, when the National Bureau of Economic Research said, you know, the economy bottomed and we started improving, at that time, no surprise, you would expect owner optimism soared. In fact, it reached its highest level ever, I think, sometime in 1983. As we began that long expansion where we created 21 million new jobs And so you see optimism really spike up as everybody sees the opportunity now, you know. And so you can grow and expand and customers are going to come. But this time, it doesn't look like it's going to happen. And for some reason, even though everybody can read the paper and see that the recession ended, in the eyes of the economists, and it's pretty clear the National Bureau will say it ended sometime in July or August or somewhere in that period, optimism is not moving, and it basically is about the future. I think owners are looking at the future and saying, well, that was a tough time, but look at what's coming out of Washington. Nothing but bad news for us.
The policy decisions are not making us feel comfortable.
They're promising more taxes, more regulation, more fines, more fees, more... And if I happen to make some money and I'm successful, they're promising to tax me even more heavily.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You know, this is something that that you and I can look back on and see. Even presidents who maybe made mistakes in their policy, but who were optimistic about America and who were optimistic about business, those presidents tended to have quicker recoveries out of recessions, didn't they?
Yeah, we seem to move more quickly, and I think that's very important. The environment, the business environment, is heavily influenced by Washington, unfortunately, and of course, right now it's looking very grim. We have people in charge who don't believe in us, don't believe in markets, don't believe in the free enterprise and capitalism. And think that the only thing we're good for is to create a pot of money for them to tap.
If you had to look around, you know, and talk to small business owners right now about what they should be excited about for the future, what would you say?
If I had to tell them what they should be excited about,
if you had to offer them some words of encouragement about the future, what would you say?
I would say, you know, notice that we've had some bad administrations in the past, but we survived them, and there's always light at the end of the tunnel. But sometimes the tunnel can be long. But you know, the system is still very strong and tolerates all of the nonsense that comes out of Washington and our state governments, the silly things that they do that cost us, that make us more inefficient, the misuse of our resources. All of that happens, and we still manage to continue to improve the general well-being of the
citizens. So what you're saying is small business owners, we need you to overcome the ineffectiveness and the ineptitude of our government. So
absolutely.
You can't stop working, small business owners. You and I have to keep going. We have to do this, and we can do this, and we have done this, and we will do this. Tintil, stay with us. I'm Jim Blassingame. Bill Dunkelberg is our guest.
They say the neon lights are bright on Broadway.
We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Bill Dunkelberg is our guest. You can find his survey at nfib.com. You can find it at smallbiz.org, right? Right.
That's it.
Smallbiz.org.
Latest reports there.
And later this week, if not already, I'm not sure, maybe today or tomorrow, it'll be up on my website, Bill. Thank you, Bill, for allowing us to post that there. And folks, the summary is very, very worthwhile reading. A lot of the stuff he has in the survey are, you know, there's charts and graphs, and they make some sense. They make a lot of sense. They're easy to read. But the summary is outstanding. It's about 3 pages, and it won't take you long to read it. And you will learn some things. You'll be able to compare what you're seeing out there with what the people who responded to his survey told him. Bill, some of the things that that your respondents told you in October still look like people are having a tough time out there.
Absolutely. The overall optimism index, a composite of 10 questions, only went up 0.3 of a point. I mean, it's hardly moving. I guess we're still in the good news is that it didn't go down kind of framework, and that's not a very great place to be. So we saw an improvement of 3 points in plans to create new jobs, but still 1 percentage point more firms plan to reduce jobs than plan to add to them over the next 3 months. That's not really very good. Planned capital outlays went down 1 point or 2 from the September survey. You know, we just aren't seeing the kinds of things that would signify that people believed that the economy was going to get better, and then they were putting their money where their beliefs were, and ordering more inventory. No, that's not happening. Hiring more people. No, that's not happening. Making capital outlays. The percent who made outlays over the last 3 months was the lowest in the 35 years that we have been doing the survey. So people are unwilling to commit their resources to the future, and that's a bad place to be in.
I'm going to make a prediction, Bill. I'm going to predict that your November report is going to be an improvement. And here's why.
And
you'll
good.
Be back
I
in December
so,
to give it to
I've
us.
I've been trying that for a while.
Here's my prediction. I predict that because they've announced, since you really polled your people, they've announced, the Congress has announced, Harry Reid has announced, that health care is probably not going to get addressed this year. The bill's not going to come up for a vote. The president's not going to be able to sign a health care bill this year. And also, it's been determined that they're probably not going to get the cap and trade thing through that's going to tax our carbon. And so I believe when that becomes evident this month to every small business owner, that they're not going to wind up, you know, having the government in charge of health care. They're not going to be taxing the exhaling carbon dioxide that we exhale out of our breath. When we find out that that's probably not going to happen this year, and therefore since next year's an election year, may not happen next year, I think it'll make small business owners feel a little more hopeful. What do you think?
I hope so. Certainly you've had a couple of Republican victories that were very important, signaling the change in attitude in the electorate. I think that's very important.
But I think that's the key, though, Bill. It's not a Republican thing. I think the populace, have you ever seen voters stand up on their hind legs and tell government that they didn't want things as much as they did starting last year with the TARP?
I was so impressed with the way that the voters have really gotten out there. And those are the important people who really will go out and actively express their views and change their minds when they see the way things are. And
isn't that the best news that we've got right now? And seeing the average person having a place to go and make their voice known, not having to go to Washington to make it known. And I'll tell you something else, Bill. I think the social media, what's commonly called the social media platforms out there, I think this is going to democratize power of the electorate in a way that's never happened. It's the thing that got Obama elected. He used social media to get himself elected. And I've heard two speeches about this. It was fascinating. It was genius. And my hat's off to their administration for pulling that off. But I do believe ultimately it will be the way that both parties will have to. That'll be the voice that they'll have to listen to in the future. What do you think?
Well, I think that's right. I think when things go really well, you know, most people get complacent, and that's when the radicals can gain power. You know, and
yep.
That's happened. And
yep.
The people who are in power in Washington don't represent the views of most American voters. And you know, we saw the things like that in the past, like when Newt Gingrich went up on the steps of the Capitol. So I think that's going to happen again in 2010
yep.
in the election.
I think so, too. Hey, Bill, thanks for being here. Thanks for all you do for small business. We'll see you next time.
Happy anniversary.
Oh, thank you, Bill. I appreciate that very much. Bill Duckenberg, ladies and gentlemen, he's one of the best, and he'll be back next month. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.